Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the BRM Brown Bag. I'm your host, Suresh GP. We are in episode number 11. So I have today an esteemed friend and practitioner, Leon Lau, joining us all the way from Hong Kong. Thanks, Leon, for joining us today. How are you?
Good to join us, Suresh. Good afternoon, good morning. Great to be talking to you. Always a pleasure.
Excellent. So, Leon, one of the things about this episode about BRM Brown Bag is we interview practitioners who bring in real-world experience in sharing their perspectives with the wider global community. And today's theme for us in this edition of BRM Brown Bag is to look at building business relationship management as an organizational capability, but also very specifically, how does that play a role around the cultural aspects? Because there's a whole lot of things around organizational change management, resistance, moving from current ways to new ways of working. So we thought that you being a practitioner and you have done a lot of experience around it, it would be great to have your perspective. So to start with, why don't you give our viewers your quick journey map of your experience around IT? And what has interested you on business relationship management?
No, that's correct, Suresh. So my experience, I came from a very technical background. So I developed through the ranks from developers into project management and so on. And then I got increasingly interested in the change aspect, the people aspect of it. So I'm actually a mixture between a change and transformation professional and also practicing BRM, or call it business partnering. And I'm also the president of the Associate Change Professionals in Hong Kong. So I actually have multiple hats. But I think I'm really interested, as Suresh was saying, how do we build that capability? I think there's perhaps a perception that BRM is a role, is a single person. And I think that's one valuable view. But however, I think from my experience, it's actually as a capability as a whole that will make you the most value. And it'd be great to be here as well.
And let's start with the BRM as an organizational capability. What do you mean by that? Is it when it is not going to be just a role? How do you define, Leon, what is an organizational capability of a BRM? Does it
I think there are lots of textbook definition, but you think about a real life situation that we call an IT department, typically is share services. So it will serve headquarters, it will serve regionals and so on, right? Now, if you look at BRM as an individual capability, then you probably appoint a BRM in representing the IT, and that individual, however gifted, will do a lot of work to try to become account manager and try to build relationships. That would depend on his reaction and how the other parts of the organization react to him or her. To make it work, it's actually like how the whole value chain linked together. How do you actually change the organization to allow for IT services to be defined and developed and be delivered very, very efficiently? So really, it's just an end-to-end from where it started to where it's delivered. Rather than thinking about BRM as a person, BRM as a capability, in some ways, thinking about HR and other functions very similar. It's an end-to-end. If your partner on the business side doesn't really recognize it, you still not really get very far. And therefore, I think that is just a simple way to answer it. And I think there's a whole host of implications of that. How would you engage them? How would you look at the characteristics and so on? But I think we can talk about it a bit later.
Yeah. And in terms of organizational cultural aspects of it, and now just take the example of a pandemic situation like this, where everybody is remotely connected and the partnerships itself has changed. So how do you see the trends around the organizational change management aspect? And do organizations really spend the time and energy to address that from the beginning? And what's been your thought?
Yeah, I think the trend, you look at it, is it's because the COVID situation and we're working from home a lot, and the pressure is on to actually dare I say, not to just be nice, to have relationship building, because there's a quite hard no thinking that if you don't do that, you actually can't be efficient and you can't engage your people in the best possible way. Now, the IT service needs to be far more robust and looking at how that service can spread and people working from home and making the service far more flexible. So you're making a lot more demand on how the IT service deliver. But it's also interesting that you think about it. IT is no longer just a department who provide standard services. You need to look at value. You look at how build relationships, because you need to do the extra mile to make it happen. So I think the situation we're in actually forced, and my prediction is we're actually heading far more in the BR, not because it's a nice tree hacking way of talking about relationship. It's actually far more because it's actually one way to make the IT services more effective.
Yep. And in terms of the capability that you're bringing in and other stuff, do you think that the PRMs are heading towards that goal of being strategic partners? Or are you seeing a lot more tactical aspects in the Asia-Pacific region where you are getting involved around different aspects? How is the PRM role or capability being perceived?
I think that's a very good question. Yeah, I think from the Asia-Pacific, because the track record, shall I say, or even reputation, is yet to be established. And I think the BRMs are being tested. So until you prove your money, you prove it, it's very difficult to say, well, I'll let you into the big table. Now, but I think I would basically talk about another term. I think strategic is one thing. Value is another thing. Value does not necessarily equal strategic. Not always. But if you can demonstrate value, even in the mundane, as long as we understand what that means, I think you can begin to earn the table. And it's obvious that the business units or the regions and so on that we serve will want to bring you into that table in time. I think you start from the value and grow, rather than demanding a seat at the strategic table, because I just don't think that works that way.
Yeah,
I'm sure you have the same experience, Suresh.
Absolutely right. And going back to that conversations of value and even defining value, we still seem to be beating around benefits and benefits realization. So is that value still being popularly even defined at the first place? Forget about capturing and communicating value being there. Because some of these stuff are still very not quantifiable, like the experience and of the business partner and helping them to do certain work. So how do you give some examples of how value can be articulated by the business partner / BRM?
Sure. So I think that if you take that, unpack that question a little bit, the two questions, one is a value of what the BRM will bring. And also the second one is what does the services, the value of the services. Now, they're related, but they're not the same.
Okay.
So let's look at the value of services. I think this is the insight of the BRM. I think there is a role that I'll come on and talk a little bit about. The fact that you think about the vertical and the horizontal. So the BRM would be facing off possibly with a particular business unit, a bit of particular regions. And therefore, he or she will become the advocate and understand. So the value will come from understanding and be very close to the business needs of that vertical. However, and then you then have a sudden change of direction. If you think about if you're working from an IT perspective, the value comes a lot from the horizontal by building platforms and building commonality, licensing, so all sorts of things that we know about the IT cost optimization. So you have multiple masters. And depends who you're talking to. And I think that's one way to be very sharp and very perceptive into which value lies in the eyes of beholders and therefore where to come from. Now, I think the other aspects of BRM is depends on the maturity where you're heading. When there are some business users, if they're very experienced IT services users, they will basically demand that you build them a very good application. And the business case will be almost robust. But the others were starting on a journey. I think they will actually value advice I think there is about how the relationship you built with your business units. So I think that was probably the way to look at it. I think the controversial subject is what kind of KPIs are you going to put on BRM? I think we can have another long debate on that one. I think it depends on the maturity of the organization.
And going back to that million-dollar question of KPIs and metrics, you know that relationship cannot be defined by the number of conversations and other stuff. But by and large, what do you think would be the index to see the relationship strength based on what you've seen in terms of business partner relationship?
That's a great question, right? So let me give a very practical answer. How quickly can you get a meeting with a stakeholder?
Right.
It's just by proxy, right? If you say, I'm going to go and reach out to, let's say, your C-suite, in the past, you probably take weeks to get one. But by the strength of the relationship, you can get one that's getting faster and faster because the reputation is built and the relationship is established that whenever the BRM calls, there is a good reason and we're going to have a good chat. I think that's one thing. The other is also the breadth of spread. How many director level that you probably have a touch point. I think that will be a good measure. Don't tell me that you haven't really met the director and you have any footprint in that unit, right? So that just legwork. I mean, this is from the account management world. It's how many touch you have. It doesn't measure. It's not a real KPI measuring how good you're performing. But if you're not doing that touch point, you have no chance.
Absolutely. And I think that's spot on in terms of how much they see the value that you can generate so they can give you an appointment at ease.
That's right.
This clearly says about the credibility that you have built over a period of time. Yeah. And in the aspect of building such delivery teams, one of the things we have struggling, Leon, is that the IT capabilities and the delivery is not capable to meet the demand of the business. And the BRM is a little bit handicapped if the IT or the delivery capability is not matching the standards. I mean, they can be doing all the spearheading of stuff and doing the orchestration role. So what are some of the things that BRM can help build the capability of IT to look good in front of the business?
Yes, and I think that's a real great question. If you think about simplifying the whole BRM model into two engines, right? One is kind of relationship engine. The other is a delivery engine, right? Where there's HR, procurement, legal, and IT. Essentially, you simplify it as such. Now, I'm making an assumption here. If technically your service delivery have a problem, then you have a real problem, right? It's much deeper. Yeah. And assuming that's not the case, a lot of capabilities is loosely centered around soft skills. So these are attitudes, are also how they perceive the world. Now, I'll come back to another important point about sometimes we miss out the IT staff in the whole cultural change aspect. I'll come back to that for a moment. So it's user-centric, value-centric. It's how you do that kind of cultural change and training people to look at it. Now, that related back to the question, if I'm an IT staff, if I'm a guru in a particular database or whatever, I don't actually care about my users. And therefore, how would you build that conviction that is actually by learning those skills is exactly how an IT professional staff need to develop. Then I think you begin to have an alignment that there's a push and a pull that you can develop that skill. Now, I'm assuming the professional skill will continue. And you have to sort out the in-source, outsource, buy or build, all that kind of question, right? Those are that can worthy for another 5 days of discussion. But assuming that you get that more or less right, and you get a more or less architectural aspect right, then I think it's essentially the soft skills.
Sure. And I think in the element of culture change, when culture defines wholly about how they're going to act and react in some of those situations, and you mentioned a point where IT staff are kind of ignored. How do you see that in the larger scheme of things? And where do you think we should pay that attention to?
So again, give me a bring a very oriental saying, right? Just follow the money.
Right.
So if I were to define let's say, I got to tell my organization, I'm going to develop this wonderful thing called BRM. So if you do your change correctly, typically you're going to talk to the business and say, if I were to build this BRM capability, business, you're going to get X, Y, Z, and whatever. Fantastic. And you're going to persuade your IT leadership, this is what you're going to get. Both sides are very happy, but they sometimes are forgotten and neglected. The poor salts in between actually make a delivery. So the question is, well, why do you want to put BRM in my department? I'm an IT staff specializing in whatever. What is in it for me? Because if you don't include them in that proposition, it's not going to work. So good old change management, understand all your stakeholders here, not just from a very managerial perspective. So the proposition for your IT staff will probably somewhere around the line that I just talked about, but it's also potentially make their life easier. They will create the kind of professional status in the 21st century. This is what IT professionals should be, and so on and so forth, right? So, but you need to think through the situation, because what I'm saying is, if your organization is largely outsourced, that's a slightly different context to I want to do things in-house, and therefore, what might that capability be? Thus, putting BRM means I'm going to get more interesting work. If we can make that connection and by and large true, we can then develop a very good proposition. And I think by implementing BRM, we need to really think long and hard of those three perspectives, from the business side, from the IT management side, and also the people that you're going to get impact, which is the IT staff.
Great. And you are heading the Hong Kong chapter for organizational change management aspect of it. Mm-hmm. What's the goal of it, and how do you think that people can kind of get to know more about it, and what's the purpose of it, and what kind of programs do you drive or initiatives do you drive by that, and what's the ultimate goal that you...
I think the associate change management profession in Hong Kong is quite a broad church. So we've got people who from a transformation, change management background, we've got innovation guys, and we've got continuous improvement, and we've got business analysts there. However, I think the interesting thing is what unite all these guys are have a very user-centric, customer-centric, people-centric view. And I think that's what we bring to the table. I think interesting, BRM is essentially the same. It's essentially very, very relationship-oriented. So it's about applying change management in that specific bits that make service delivery powerful. I think that's what I'm looking at, right? BRM have a set of perspective and lots of tools, a lot of tricks. But I think change management complement it and strengthen it enormously. I think the concept of thinking BRM as a capability, understanding the cultural aspect of it, will help change management find an interesting application, but also will help you out in the long term.
Right. So the final question would be, in case you want to give a few rules for the BRMs to stand out in the midst of this whole VUCA world, a volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous world, what do you think they should keep in mind into perspectives to grow BRM as a capability, but also make sure that they make enough amount of strides on the cultural and change management aspects to complement, as you rightly said, to deliver outcomes and much more desirable experience?
I think that's a great question. I can think of the first one will be, it's stakeholders everywhere, right? BRM sometimes think, well, my stakeholders actually my business is not. Your stakeholders are everywhere. I think you mentioned yours earlier, so the ability to orchestrate. Now, if you don't have the credibility with your delivery engine, you have no chance. So it's about that understanding. It's actually quite weird because you're no longer really an employee. You're playing and persuading and aligning people everywhere. I mean, orchestrating is the best word you can use. So that's one thing. And all the good old values of showing empathy and showing really you're a trustworthy person. I think there's nothing new here. I think we have tools or tricks to talk about how to do demand management and all that stuff, but that's just taken for granted. But if you don't have that credibility and you don't put yourself in other people's shoes, I think it's very hard because this is a relationship oriented. until people trust you, they won't even listen to you. So I guess that's a journey. I think the danger is for BRM to focus too early, too soon on processes.
Yep, absolutely. Spot on, Leon. I think we can talk for hours, but thank you for sharing your viewpoints in this edition. And I hope our viewers would have a lot of takeaways. So we'll post on more things as we start to unravel, but it's always a delight to see someone from Asia Pacific going and sharing through this view. Thank you so much, Leon.
No, it's a pleasure, Suresh. Thank you.